Good evening, everyone. I greet you this evening in the precious name of Jesus. It's wonderful to be back together again to look into the Word of God for the reason that we want to be more and more like Jesus. I always, in my revival meetings, of all people, I want to keep lifting up the name of Jesus because that's where it's all at. The one who gave his life for you and I. They drove them nails through his hands and through his feet. They spit on him. That's my Jesus, the one who gave his life, who loved me so much. A few scripture verses here from John. When they saw Jesus, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith unto him, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb, that perfect Lamb, that gave his life for you and for me. Well, I hope you folks all went, took Jesus for a little walk in your life, and pointed a few things out to you. You know, the Lord, he always gives us, he gives us a list of things to do. And you chalk them off, you know, did this, did that. And when you think you're about finished, guess what? He gives you another list. And then you start working on that too. So I praise the Lord that he cares so much about me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I don't like when my wife orders me around. I really don't. And it's not your place. It's not in any woman's place to boss a man around. I worked for 2 years in 1W service, and I had a lady as my boss. Some of the worst 2 years of my life. No reflection, ladies, on you. You are wonderful people. But don't try and boss a man around. Well, Jesus, I don't mind him bossing me around at all. I actually kind of like it because he keeps pointing things out in our lives, as I said, that need to be changed. For my theme song this evening, maybe it'll be different every evening. I guess a theme song, something that you sing every night, right? Well, mine for this evening was, I talked about anchoring down that vehicle when the tornado would come. They would put the anchors down deep, and as they put them anchors down deep, let the storms come. Storms come, and the house on the rock, it just stands firm. I want you to turn to your Songs of Faith and Praise, number 467. It asks the question, will your anchor hold? And then, of course, we have an anchor that keeps us hold. If you can manage to stand again, well, let's stand as we sing. The singing is so much better. In our congregation, a lot of things are the same, but I believe in our singing, we are standing 90% of the time because it's just so much better. It doesn't matter here if you strain your voice, your veins stick out, okay? Just sing and honor and praise to our God.
Will your anchor hold in the storm of life when the clouds unfather of strife, when the storm tides slip and the cables tread? Will your anchor again?
All right, let's sing it.
We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm with then parties well secured by the Savior's hand, and the cable that from this heart to mine can defile the blessed divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul set fast and sure while the billow roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of destroy with us the path forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while billows roll. As unto the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love, you may be seen. About 2 years ago, we heard it all over the news about this ship that ran aground over in Rome. There was about 4,000 people on that cruise, and the pilot or the captain of the ship got off course. He was that far off a course, he wanted to get a little bit closer to land so the people could see better, and he got off a course. And when he got off, of course, and he struck the sand and the rocks and the ground, there they were. They were stuck. They couldn't move the ship. And I think they're still working to get that ship up out of the ground, the mud, the water. The last I heard was about 3-4 weeks ago that they still didn't get this ship. The ship sunk. And when the ship sinks, folks, it's hard to get it back up again. Well, this ship here, you know what the captain did? The captain jumped overboard. The captain's supposed to stay with the ship until the last person is off, and then he can jump off the board too. But this captain, he jumped off board. He got in trouble because he jumped off the board. Well, we want to check this evening. I want to make sure, I want you to make sure, folks, that your ship is on course. Okay? We don't want to get off of course. We want to stay on course. We want to go where Jesus wants us to go. We don't want to have any collision. You'll be opening your Bibles with me for this one verse in Timothy chapter 1. And I'll begin reading at verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We want to be, folks, we're not on a playground. I'm telling you, we're not on a playground. We're on the battlefield. We're in a battlefield. Things are not going to get better. There is going to be more shipwrecks as we get closer to the return of the Lord. The Bible says that in last days, many are going to be having shipwrecks. They're going to fall away from the faith, from what they knew, from what they taught. It's going to be a tremendous time of deception. People are going to be thinking that they are doing what is right, and they are doing what is wrong. I want to make sure, folks, tonight that I know that I'm born again, and I know that you're born again, because there's a lot of people, the Bible says, that are, when they come to the judgment, and they come and they knock on the door, and the Lord opens the door. You know what I said last night about dividing the sheep from the goats? We want to make sure that our ship is not run abroad. I never dreamt, folks, I never dreamt that the Mennonite church would ever come to the place that it's at. I really didn't. I grew up in a very liberal conference, and you don't build a church by condemning conferences, okay? But we have to know, we want to keep our ship a-sailing. I saw so many ships that went down. The ship went down, and they have made shipwreck. Let me read this again. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. I never dreamt that we, as a Mennonite church, would believe that it's okay to divorce and remarry. I never dreamt that homosexuality would be an issue in the Mennonite church. I never dreamt that. I never ever thought that would happen. And here we go. We see ship after ship. What is it going to keep to make our one on course? Well, folks, tonight we want to have Jesus on boat. Okay? The disciples at one point, in Luke, you need not to turn to this, okay? I'll refer to these verses here rather quickly. In Luke 8:22, the disciples were in just about a shipwreck, and they were in jeopardy. Now, I don't know if you know what it means to be in jeopardy. Would you like to come up here, young man, and show what it means to be in jeopardy? No, you don't want to do that. Okay. All right, I don't blame you. I don't want to do it either. But it means that they were worried, they were concerned, they thought they were going to go down, and they were all excited, and this was a storm, a bad storm that they were having, and they didn't know what to do. Were you ever on a ship? Did that happen? Well, I was on. I don't like water. I tried so often to swim, and I go right to the bottom. I can swim by from here to the wall. That's it. I'm out of breath, and that's as far as I can go. Okay? I don't like water. My son-in-law had a boat. I think it was about as wide as from here, maybe to there, as long as from here, there. And we decided he wanted to take us out on the bay. I really didn't want to go because I had this inner feeling something might happen. So guess what? I get in this boat, we go out, puttering out across the bay. And guess what happened? Just what I thought would happen. In the middle of the bay, the engine stopped. The Atlantic Ocean, we weren't far from that. And I could just feel that we're getting closer all the time to the Atlantic Ocean. And behind us, the thunderstorm start rolling. Here I was in this boat, trying to start it. Folks, it's a terrible thing to be in jeopardy, to be in a boat and not have any energy, no power there. We have a lot of Christians today, folks, that are in the boat. Make sure Jesus is in your boat. And then again, let storms come and we can live through storm. Well, I said, let's get this boat started. And they go, you know how it is in one. Finally, the boat got started. I said to my son-in-law, head for shore. Now, let's get as close to shore as possible because that thunder was rolling and I could see the Atlantic. I could just visualize us out there in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean somewhere in this little old boat with no power. Folks, we need power today. And you know what? There is so much power available today that it's so wonderful to experience the power of God. There is power, power, power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is wonderful power. Jesus has all the power that is available, that we need. I don't like shopping. The only place I like to go is Lowe's. I don't like to go to Walmart. I don't like to go to drugstores. I don't mind going to Lowe's. You know what? Jesus said, ask what you will. He has a cart there with so many blessings on that it would fill any ship, it would fill the boat,
with all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, that we, all he says, all we got to do is ask. Ask, he says, and I will give it to you. You need peace? You pray for peace? And God promised peace. He's a wonderful person. Well, my son finally got that motor going, and I'll tell you what, I was glad to be on shore. A boat experience. You know, no power brings a lot of fear. We think of Jonah. Jonah was in a shipwreck. I was in a shipwreck just like Jonah when I tried to run away from God. Did you ever try to run away from God? How is it that we think that we can run from God and God don't see us where we are? I'll never forget when God called me. Different times as a minister, when God called me to be a preacher, when God called me to help start a school. God's call. Folks, God is calling each one of us today. There's so much work to be done, and there's so much power to have that we can do and go and be where God wants us to be. Now I want to go to another one in Genesis chapter 6, a very familiar one. Again, of Jonah. Noah. Noah, here being a man of God, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, tonight, I'm just so thankful, folks, for the grace of God. If it wouldn't be for the grace of God, wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin, you know, the marvelous grace, God's grace, grace that will cover everything, God's grace. Well, Noah found that grace. And I want to tell you what, folks, with the storm coming up, God is going to someday, in the very near future, God, I believe, folks, I really believe that this world is getting awfully close to the end. I don't know. No, but nobody knows. You know, we had Harold Camping. Some of you might have heard him on Family Time. And Harold Camping had the date set when the Lord was going to come back, and the Lord didn't come back. Folks, we don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't know that, but I believe he's coming soon. I had a grandfather that was 104 years old, only 2 weeks from 105, and I knew by looking at him and by talking to him, I knew that he was going to die soon. I didn't know the day or the hour or the week, but I knew he's going to die soon. And that's the way it is here, folks. We want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord so that when the fire falls from heaven like it did over in Russia, these meteors came down and hurt some people. And one of these days, folks, the sky is going to open up and all these things are going to come to pass. We want to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah, we do. Well, let's see what it says here. In verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and he kept every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Today, folks, I here in the country, maybe I'm used to being in the city for 40-some years, but I'm telling you, folks, the city is really evil. It really is. I wonder what is it that keeps God from coming back? Why doesn't he come back? He loves us. We're his bride. But we want to make sure. That's why we have revival meetings, folks, just to make sure that you're not deceived, that you're really born again. You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, God was getting pretty upset here. God was so upset. In verse 6, God said, it repenteth the Lord that he hath made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Oh, folks, don't grieve God's heart. There's a lot of people today that are grieving the heart of God. And it grieved the heart of God to the point that I'm sorry, I wish I'd have never made man. Does God look at you and say, I wish I'd have never made you? It grieved his heart. It grieves my heart when I see people that are lost and don't have Jesus in their heart. So the Lord repented that he made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But he said, but Noah found grace. Folks, God's looking for people to hand out his grace. His grace is sufficient. The grace, the mercy of God, he extends to us so that we can. And it says, Noah was a just man. Oh, how we need people today to walk a just life, to show to the world. I always say the greatest witness today, folks, you know what one of the greatest witnesses is a family that's a Christian family. My family, we usually live too close to drive to church. Okay, we always lived basically about a stone's throw from the church. But neighbors would see our family going to church. We used to have church every Sunday night. Every Sunday night. If we had church, which we did every Wednesday night, we had church Wednesday night. We went to church Wednesday night. And the neighbors see this. Folks, a family today is a tremendous testimony. That's why if you do go shopping, okay? If you do go shopping, take the whole family along. Why, people, I love to watch people in the store. I mean, the Dutchman would say, I. They holler at each other. The children are screaming and kicking and hollering, and I like to listen in what they're saying yet. And that's the condition, folks. I just tell you, when you go shopping, go as a family. Take the teenagers along. They might not want to go, but try and convince them to go along. And the reason that you go to the shopping center, the reason you go is to leave a witness. But while you're there, you may shop. Okay, let's get priorities straight. Go in the name of Jesus. Don't grieve the heart of God. He wants us to let the world know today that he's coming soon. See what else it says about him here. Noah was just man and perfect in his generations. And what we talked about last night, and Noah walked with God. Did you walk with God today? Just walk with him and have God walk with you as you go through all experiences of life. And then I guess I'll come down here to, I'll read verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Oh, folks, the earth is filled with violence. Cities are filled with violence. You know what? My soul here, I want to do all I can to protect my soul. I want to have assurance, not insurance. A lot of people have insurance. They insure their car, they insure their house, they insure whatever. But folks, I want to make sure that we are secure in Christ Jesus. And as it says there, violence. So much violence. Oh my, violence everywhere. Thieves and I don't get along real well. We have thieves there in the city. They stole so much stuff from us already. That old thief, I'm going to tell you, folks, the thief is out to steal your heart. The thief is out to make you convinced you're saved when you're not saved. And I'm not trying to get you unsaved here tonight. I just want to make sure you're ready. My wife and I were on our trampoline, resting in peace. And I have a Chevette, not a Corvette. I have a Chevette, okay? That Chevette is 1980, I think, or 81, something like that. I kind of cherish my Chevette because it's about the only one on the road. You hardly see them. These people don't even know what a Chevette is, probably. Okay, a Chevette is a Chevy make kind of made car, okay? And Chevettes, you know, never were the best car on the road. But we were lying there, and I heard my Chevette car door open. I thought, wonder. And we were only parked from here to that table there, away from the trampoline. And I heard this, my car open. I thought, ooh, I mean, somebody's stealing my car. And I'm so attached to that Chevette, like some people are to their dogs and cats. But I was really attached to the Chevette. It was my mother's, and I wanted to keep it. So I didn't have a whole lot of time to think what a good non-resistant Mennonite ought to do. I didn't think of offering him my better car. But I jumped off the trampoline and hollered and scared this guy so bad. He down the hill as fast as he could go. And, of course, we called the cops. And when I went to my car, he had all my keys. I want to tell you something, folks. The devil has your key. Yeah, he does. He has the key to your heart. He knows how to. He knows what key to use when. This guy had my. He. I don't know where he got my keys. We had all of them. My car key, my truck key, the bus key, the house key, the school key, and other keys. You have to watch the old devil, folks. I'm telling you, he got the key. But you don't let him in. No, you don't let the old devil in. You make sure you're keeping on. Well, in the day in which we are living, it's time to give this order. God gave Noah this order. He said, make thee an ark. Is your whole family in the ark, folks? Your good friends, those that you work with? When is the last time that you shared the gospel? Is the gospel something that if you feel like doing it, you witness, and if you don't feel like doing it, you don't have to do it? Can you get to heaven without sharing the gospel? You know, 1 Corinthians 11, we all know what that is, the woman's veil. If a woman drops her veil, a lot of Mennonite churches will drop them. They got rid of it. Folks, the message needs to go out. My wife and I, we do flying, you know. I'm tired of flying, but we still have to fly anyhow sometimes. I pray the Lord, whoever sits alongside of me is going to get the gospel. And my wife, she does it too. She got to speak to a doctor, a Jewish doctor, the whole way for a couple hours on a flight, and she learned a lot. I always pray, you know, the seats are rather narrow in these planes. And I usually pray, Lord, give me a thin, skinny lady to sit alongside of me. I don't want a big man coming in that's hot, real robust, you know, and then I got to witness to him. I'd rather witness to a skinny old lady. And I'm ashamed of myself, but it's the truth, you know. So and the Lord punished me on this last flight. The Lord punished me. Well, I won't go into that any further. Okay, but folks, it's time to make an ark. Bring everyone into safety. Do you have a burden for that lost relative of yours? Maybe it's a father, maybe it's a mother, a brother, sister. But make an ark, because the judgment of God is coming, and he is coming soon. Then we know the story about when the rain descended and the winds blew. Are we going to be able to stand? Okay, I'd like to go. Go with me now to a scripture. And I think let's go to Luke 11:21. Luke 11:21. Reads like this.
Luke 10. Luke 21. Excuse me. Try one more again. Luke chapter 11. All right. Now we're getting there. Luke chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. He that is not with is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When a strong man is armed, folks, we've got to put on the armor. We as men to put on the armor of God so that we may be able to stand. I want to go yet to another scripture, which is found in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 14, says this: Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So we're going to take, we want to make sure everyone gets to go along. Our wives, our little ones, our cattle, all these things, he says, I want you to take along. And I want armed men that are going to be leading. And we need armed men today. And I want to speak for a little bit, I guess, on leading my family faithfully. Getting my family on the ship, on board. And fathers and mothers, it's so important that we, as God's people, be the kind of example that we want our children to be. I grew up in a home, my wife grew up in a home. I grew up in a home where when the church doors were open, we were there. We were there. If I would have suggested to my dad when we were if we'd have been going to prayer meeting and I didn't feel like going, and I'd have said to my dad, I don't think I'm going tonight. He'd have said, huh? I don't feel like going tonight. He would go, huh? You're going. Okay, when the church doors were open, folks, when the church doors are open, set an example to your children that prayer meeting is important. If you're going to take your children on the ship, if you don't want your ship to wreck with your family on, I see families today that are being wrecked. Churches that are being wrecked. You know, when you have revival meetings, not because I'm here, but when there's revival meetings, you ought to be there. Set a good example. Be an example for the people. You want to get everybody on your ship, folks. I want to tell you something. Honor your church. Honor the church. Honor your church leaders. You want to lose some of your family? Just cut up leadership. Honor them. You know, it's tough to be a leader. It really is. I've been in the ministry 30, 40 years or whatever it is. A minister knows that if he goes to the left, some will go to the right. And if he goes to the right, some will go to the left. And it's a tough place. A minister does want to please everyone. I'm just saying, folks, get behind your ministry. You don't have to agree with everything I'm going to say, okay? But I'm still going to say it. I believe
As a Mennonite church, we fail in supporting our ministry. You know, ministers are busy. They have to study. They have committee meetings. They must visit the sick. There is so much. A congregation this size, folks, the minister can't help but be on behind, because there's so much to do. But we say, oh, salaried ministers are that's not good. I mean, then he'll only preach what people want him to preach. And so therefore, we have to, you know, we don't want to support him too much, or he'll get proud and all this and that. You know, the devil likes our program. He likes that. You know, a lot of our missionaries in Olive Branch, I was in Olive Branch for a number of years. And being there, we send our missionaries out. You know what? We fully support them. We give them everything they need. But our ministers back home, folks, you need more. I took a survey of about 120 young people last year. And you know what? Just about 100% says, I wish my pastor would have more time for us. Young people want to have a relationship with their pastor. But folks, with all these people, how can he? When he has to work? I'm just saying, folks, if we're really getting serious about the end of the world, and we're really getting serious about winning souls for Jesus Christ, we need to get behind our ministers, and we need to encourage them. I'm thankful our congregation, we have a school there, but all us four ministers work at school. We work together every day of the week, but Saturday. And it's good we don't see each other then. Little break. No, we get along good, folks. I'm telling you. In your church, support your leaders. Hold them up in prayer. I think I might be speaking on this one night, so I may not go into much detail tonight. But folks, the things of the world. Don't be worldly minded. Stay away from the world and all its folly. You know, the devil took Jesus up in the wilderness. He says he went up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showed Jesus all the things. He showed him the four-wheelers. He showed him these cool cars. He showed him all the things of the world. For me, you know, it's not wrong to earn money, folks. It's not wrong. If you get $40,000 at work, you'd be happy if the boss would give you $45,000. We're just not satisfied, you know. We just don't satisfy. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, this evening, it doesn't satisfy. You can have $100,000 in the bank and you still like 10 more. Money does not satisfy. And that's hard for us to get a hold of and grasp. You know what really satisfies? Is not going to a park and going to some roller coaster ride that makes you half sick. That don't bring joy either. You know what really brings joy and happiness? Is to win a soul to Jesus Christ. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, is it an option that you can vote, yeah. If you want to, you may do it, witness. If you don't want to, you don't have to. I got news for you, that's false. When my dad said go to me, I had a loving dad. But when my dad said go, I had to go. And our children, when we say to our children, our eight children, they're growing up, when I say go, you got to go. You know, I expect you to go. Jesus said, go into the world. Go and tell someone about Jesus. It's not an option. But the reason, folks, Somehow we let the world intimidate us, and we're afraid to witness. And I'm so ashamed of myself when I fail to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, stay away from the world. I did touch a little bit on technology last night, but don't ever start texting in church. You hear me? Good. Never do it again. Texting, you go to an airport, and I don't know how many, just about everybody sitting there, pushing the old thing. Okay, if you have to, you know what they're really saying about texting? That we're learning, we are learning not to be able to relate to each other. You won't be relating. You do things on texting that you wouldn't normally do. And I just want to say, we can't stop you from texting, but please don't do it in church. It's not the place to do it. Leave it out. Entertainment, sports. I might talk about that some more. I used to enjoy sports. Now I enjoy watching sports. Okay. My sons were always very athletic, but sports can get you on the wrong ship. Be very, very careful. I have some other things here, but I might save them. On purity, I made a study on why so many Mennonite youth and young adults leave the Mennonite church. They're concerned about it. A lot of places are concerned that the youth are leaving the Mennonite church. And the question was, why? Why are they leaving the Mennonite church? And one of the number one things was they want entertainment at church. They want to be where there's a rock concert, a lot of music, a lot of action, a lot of clapping. There's nothing wrong with clapping, a lot of things. But let's be careful that we don't overdo some of these things. And we get so close to churches that do not believe in non-resistance, some of the doctrines that we all were taught. It's very easy to slip right into some other church and then look at their families at the next generation, and you'll see what was lost. I get into a lot of homes, a lot of Mennonite homes, and I like to look at the pictures, and I want to say I didn't see it out here. I like to look at the pictures of Grandpa, Grandma, and then the rest of them down through. And you look at it and you say, what happened? What happened? Can't we keep our own children in our own ship? Can't we teach them that? Another thing, I'm for lady preachers. Mennonite Church finally got wise. Are you about chased off the pulpit here? Folks, do you know why the Mennonite Church had to go for women preachers? You know why we're struggling with that? I'll tell you why we're struggling with it. And I understand why we have Mennonite preachers, lady preachers. You know why? Because you men do not take your place with your children in family worship. If you're against women preachers, then you better be the father and have your family worship. What are these women supposed to do? It's very, very difficult to shake men loose from their seats during an invitation. It happens. But many times it'll be young people. You expect they ought to repent. You know what? You know what the problem is with a lot of young people? Is that they have parents. Now you'll really get me. But it's the truth. If we're against women in leadership, if you're not having your family devotions with your family, your wife is a good candidate to become a preacher someday. I know they ask the question, well, what shall I do? My husband doesn't lead out. We don't have family worship. You don't lead out. Does that mean that the woman shouldn't do it, or should she do it? What do you tell her? Should you do it? Yeah, ladies, I just need to encourage you. If the man does not take his place, and you have children, take time with them in reading Bible stories, in singing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So. Take time with the teenage daughter and son. Pray for them. I had very godly parents. Very godly parents. And I love my parents. I never heard my parents disagree once in the whole time I lived at home. Never once. I never saw my parents hug. That was always something that... I never saw them kiss. Until right before my father died. My mother bent over, and I'd have given her $100 to see it. He bent over and kissed my dad. That was a blessing. But I know, my mother, my father never argued, got along, and they got all 12 children into the ship. As a young preacher, one old man came up to me, and he said to me, when I preach on the family, I preached on the family, and he shook his finger at me, and he said, you just wait till you have teenagers. I could hardly wait then. Yeah, I love my teenagers. He said, you just wait. Fathers, mothers, we have everything that's available to raise a godly family for Jesus. There's nothing lacking. God gives us the grace. God gives us the power. And so I would encourage you, fathers. I would encourage you, fathers. Please have family worship with your family. If you think... I had a man tell me, I just can't get down to doing it. I just feel so, you know. Fathers, mothers, when the church door is open, you go. Make sure you hold up your church and its guidelines. I encourage you, hold up the guidelines of your church. Don't be on the edge, you know. And every congregation seems to have a couple of them. Get on the edge. Don't get on your edge. Give it your very best. When you go for counsel, don't lie in the council room. Tell them the truth. Well, your critical spirit or a good attitude. Have a good attitude toward your church. A good attitude toward your church, your ministry, and all this. Be an encouragement. When I was in about 6th, 7th grade, I went to the public school. I had to sing a song at the Christmas program. And my voice was starting to change to a bass. And I had to sing that song, I Saw the Donkey, O'Shaughnessy and Brown. And I was going back and forth, I saw the donkey. And we were in a little room, And then the sound system went throughout the whole school. And I heard the whole school laughing at me, laughing. Break time came, I went out, and they were saying, who was that girl singing? I said, I don't know. I was so embarrassed. Then at the age of 15, I was asked to lead my first song in the congregation. I'm talking about encouragement, folks. The first song I led was number 245 in the live song. Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue and bridle slip. I led that song. And a lady came to me afterwards and said, Jay, she said, it looked like you were leading songs for years. Oh, did that encourage me? I was so blessed. That lady only died about a month ago, and I thought she was all way back there. Yes, she died, and she wanted me to lead the singing at her funeral because of what she'd done and what I told her she'd done. But I was North Dakota or South Dakota, someplace like that. I couldn't be there. But oh, what a blessing it was. I could hardly wait to preach. I could hardly wait to lead the second song. It was such an encouragement to me. The second song was, some sweet day when life is o'er, we shall meet above. I was so blessed. That encouragement. At the age of 17, we made our first record, Celestial Echoes. You know what, folks? Be an encouragement. I'll tell you what, I need encouragement at times. Young people need encouragement. I love to encourage young people. I often go up to high school, walk up to a student, and say, I encourage them. Encourage them having a good day. And you know what? They're so blessed when we encourage each other. When's the last time you encouraged your bishop, your minister? Encourage them. They need encouragement. You want to get as many people, you can do it, you can do it. You can lead them singing, that singing. You can preach. Well, when Jesus was up there, and he showed Satan and Jesus were up there at the top of the exceeding high mountain, he showed them all them things, all that the world has. And I said it last evening, I'm going to say it again, folks. I want to tell you something. The world has zero to offer to you. Folks, young folks, don't ever go out in the world. They are so miserable. They are so miserable. I work with troubled teenagers, and they're a lot of them don't even know where their dad is. They don't know where their mother is. And they would give $100,000 if they'd have it to have a father. Young people, you don't know how fortunate you are. We need to be grateful for the things that God has given to us. I want to make sure that we all get in, that we all get in the ship. If you feel like your ship is running aground, get it back in course, your home, your church. When a church loses something, it very seldom is regained. Very seldom. It does. I know some churches that did, that made a U-turn and came back. But as a whole, and I want to encourage you people here, keep your standard, girls. Keep a high standard. Guys, keep a high standard. Don't change. Be careful. Be so careful. Change is good. I'm one that I do like variety. I like when we sing old time hymns. I like some praise and worship song. I like them. Change is not wrong, but be careful. Don't give up a Bible principle, and change things. that should not be changed. I think I'm going to discontinue here. And I have no greater joy than to see that all my children are in the ship. If you feel like you are in shipwreck, your faith is in shipwreck tonight, I know somebody that can fix it. You don't want to, folks. You don't want to have a shipwreck. I'm telling you. Pull your boat back. The boat that sinks is terrible hard to get back up. I did tell you, there's a plane that had a problem. They pushed us out. And I was wondering yesterday or whenever it was, I said, it was Monday, why don't we go? Why don't we go? The plane had one problem. I don't know what it was, something with the computer. They made us all get off. And I'm so glad I had a pilot that didn't say, we'll give it a try, you know. We'll try, you know. And no, one little thing was wrong, and he said we have to fix it. So we didn't even use that plane. They routed us other places to us to get here. I'm asking you, who is your captain, and is your captain trustworthy to follow? We want to make sure that our captain knows what he's doing. A captain that can detect when there are problems and issues. I want to protect my ship. I want to protect my soul. I mentioned I live in the city, and before I go to bed, I secure my house. I lock my house because if I don't lock it, there's a thief going to come in. And a thief did come in a couple times, got my wife's purse one time, run out with about a nickel or so in it. He was disappointed when he opened that one up. But I want to make sure that we are walking close to the Lord and that the thief is not going to steal. I lock my house. I lock the door. I lock my car. I lock everything I have up. I want to protect it. But folks, I want to do all I can do to protect my soul and the soul of my children. I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be a father that is able to guide and lead his children. I want to be that. I want to be the best grandfather there is to be. I want to be the best preacher that. I want to be a model. Folks, we need models today. I'm asking you to be a model for Jesus Christ. Let your church be a model. Have your home be a model. Have you be a model. Give it your very best. That's a real challenge, folks. To be a model. All the world needs that. They need us to be a true model so that they have something to connect with. I'm going to give an invitation this evening. If you feel like your ship has run abroad, has run into the sand and the mud and the rocks, and you're sitting there, you know what? As I said, that ship over there in Rome is still underwater, I think. But you know what? Jesus can lift you up and lift you out of that. He can fix your bad attitudes. If you have a bad attitude, you need some fixing. Whatever you need fixed, folks, you can fix it tonight. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. And then I want the song leader to lead the song, "Just As I Am." If you can get that. And you can come to Jesus just as you are with whatever is broken, whatever needs help. and let Jesus fix it. Fix your ship. If you feel like you're getting off course, tonight's the night to get your ship back on course again. You drop your family worship. You don't go to prayer meeting. Your job is more important to you than anything else. You need it fixed. I'm telling you, you need it fixed. Fix it, because it's a high price. When you don't fix something, you run aground, lose a lot of lives. If you listen to the word of God, when Paul had his shipwreck, you know what happened? I think it was 276 people on his boat. And Paul said, listen, if you listen to me, nobody's going to lose a hair on their head. Folks, if you listen to me and you fix what is broken, God is going to tremendously bless you. Paul said, don't jump overboard till I tell you to jump. And we know how they jumped overboard. No one lost one hair on their head. You need something fixed. Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer. Lord, we want to stay in course, but it's so easy sometimes to get off of course, off of the way that we're supposed to be going. And Lord, we run aground, and the ship gets destroyed. Lord, if there's a father here or a mother here whose ship is sinking, it's all not on course. Lord, I just pray that they would be willing to submit and to fix what needs to be fixed. So, Lord, thank you for working in the hearts of all of us here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What is the page number? Say it again. 228.